Hello, listeners. Welcome to this week's edition of The Organist Encores with me, John Leeming. This time, we're going to have a bit of fun. At least I hope it'll be fun, because we're going to be hearing a few tracks where the music isn't necessarily the main reason for my choice. I've called the programme Organ Oddities, where the unusual or the unexpected will be the order of the day. One of the most individual theatre organists of yesteryear was a lady called Winifred Armistead, who once graced the console at the Theatre Royal in Halifax, but who spent most of her life in Canada. Christened Winifred Rhea Reed, she condensed her professional name to simply Winifreda. She passed away in 2009, but her memory lives on in a couple of LP records, where her individual take on melody and timing has been immortalised. Here she is with her classic interpretation of the Dambusters March at the Riviera Theatre, North Tonawanda, Wurlitzer, in 1976. I think we'll leave that rendition there, but if you do want to hear more, copies of that record, entertainingly called Yours Musically, do pop up on the web from time to time. My memory of Winifreda is of the occasion in 1985, where she had the misfortune to be invited to play an open console session at the Montclair Theatre in Chicago, on an organ that was almost, but not quite, completely unplayable. The audience was already in high spirits at the prospect of hearing her performance, and when her opening number was sadly terminated by a cipher, after 6 seconds, it was just too much for some people in the audience. Oh dear, people can be so rude. Now, here's something a bit different. Eddie Baxter was a fine musician, and for many years he was a staff organist for an NBC radio station in the USA. On Hammond organ, he teamed up with a vocalist with a sort of, come and get me type of voice, if you know what I mean, known as the Continental. I say vocalist rather than singer for reasons that will soon become apparent in this 78 from 1951.
You know, my darling, you go to my head and you linger like a haunting refrain. And I find you spinning around in my brain like the bubbles in a glass of champagne. You go to my head like a sip of sparkling Burgundy brew, and I find the very mention of you like the kicker in a julep or two. The thrill of the thought that you might give a thought to my plea, casts a spell over me. Still, I say to myself, get a hold of yourself. Can't you see that it never can be? You go to my head with a smile that makes my temperature rise, like a summer with a thousand Julys. You intoxicate my soul with your eyes. Though I'm certain that this heart of mine hasn't a ghost of a chance in this crazy romance, you go to my head. Chérie, ma petite, though I am certain that this heart of mine hasn't a ghost of a chance in this crazy romance, you go to my head. You go to my head.
Nice Hammond sounds there from Eddie Baxter, and a very special vocal contribution from The Continental. Now we move to Australia and to the Wurlitzer of the State Theatre, Melbourne. The legendary organist Iris Norgrove cut an LP there in 1963 called, curiously, Wurlitzer in Scotland. And it's become a real collector's item. This track is labelled Gary Owen, but I've yet to be convinced of that. Iris Norgrove there. She paid a visit to London back in the 1970s and gave a concert at the State Kilburn. People who were there say that the event was quite unforgettable. Now, here's something a little different, because it features the clavioline as a solo instrument with Frank Chaxfield's orchestra, and a novel interpretation of Little Red Monkey, which I'm sure COS journal editor Mike Carter will enjoy. Thank you. The clavioline was not everybody's cup of tea, but it was popular for creating special effects and novelties in the 1950s. Now, sometimes you come across a track on a record and wonder if it got there by mistake. This recording of Cape Cod by popular organist Dick Smith on the Wurlitzer of Lowe's Theatre in Richmond, Virginia, is certainly very unusual. It begins in a smooth, relaxed way, but halfway through it veers off in uncharted directions and takes a very innovative route to a final resolution.
Thank you.
Dick Smith there with Cape Cod, a track much enjoyed at many a musical evening. Listening to Damon's show last week, I discovered that it's permitted to include an item without an organ. And this next track may be one such, though I think I may be able to hear the Stoll Picture Theatre organ growling away in the background occasionally. It's a number called Sing a Little Love Song by the Manhattan Merrymakers, but I'm including it mainly for the wonderfully wild performance by Teddy Brown on his custom-made 5-octave xylophone. And at one point, Teddy Brown puts his hammers down to add a vocal refrain as well. How about that?
Skies are gray, any little love song, drive the clouds away. As an inspiration, watch the birds above, you'll find consolation in the song of love. What good are riches and gold when love is through? We know from stories of old just what a song can do. Sing a little love song, sorrow will depart. Keep a little love song ringing in your heart.
The Manhattan Merrymakers cheering everyone up in 1929. That instrumental group is not to be confused with the American group of the same name. The British version was one of the many names used by bandleader Harry Bidgood for his recordings in the 20s and 30s. This next record doesn't have much organ in it either, so I'm just going to play the beginning so you can hear a bit of the Decca Studio Wurlitzer rumbling behind the brass in the vocal group's introduction to a fun recording by Roy Leslie from 1933. Sunday School Stories.
Sunday School Stories that you like to hear.
Now gather round, my children, gather round. Now then, Johnny, take your hand out of the collecting box, you naughty boy. Young folks, old folks, everybody come to our little Sunday school and we will have some fun. Bring your toffee apples and sit down upon the floor and you'll hear some Bible stories that you never heard before. Adam was the first man, that is what we all believe. One morning he was filleted and introduced to Eve. He had no one to tell him, but he soon found out the way. And that's the only reason why we're sitting here today. Proper terrible, isn't it?
Well, it goes on for about 6 minutes, so I think we'll leave it there and move on to something that is, again, most unusual. Here's Martha Lake. I think I'm going out of my mind. Well, I'm not surprised after that track. Maybe I can quote from reviewer Effie Klotz, writing about one of Martha Lake's concerts in the American theatre organ magazine Bombard in 1968. She writes, "Martha played several selections of great beauty, though it wasn't always clear whether they were pops or classics, just tone clusters. She performed some wonderful two-footed cadenzas, even though the progressions inevitably ended up on the wrong note. But that audience, they were terrible. They were laughing at Martha and her divine music." Well, in real life, Martha Lake was the fun alter ego of popular US organist Dick Shrum, whose creation, Martha, kept many an audience hugely entertained in the late 1960s, and heard on that track at the Marr and Colton organ, originally from Lowe's Rochester Theatre. Talking of little-known female organists, here's an old and very rare recording attributed to Flora O'Splady. The location of the organ is perhaps wisely not mentioned, but in this unique version of April in Paris, Flora seems to be making interesting use of the Compton Mellotone glide control. Yes, well, if you want to know more about when that was recorded, have a look at the name Flora O'Splady and try out your anagram skills. The spelling is on the website, along with all sorts of other information from the Organist Encore, so do take a look. Talking as we were earlier of audiences laughing, you may wonder what's got into the audience at this fine concert performance by Tom Hazelton. Well, the title of the tune may just give you a clue.
Thank you.
The stripper, Tom Hazleton, at the fine Robert Morton organ in the home of Paul and Linda Vandermolen in Wheaton, Illinois, at a private concert in 1985. The reason for all the fun is that Tom had pre-recorded that number on the organ's player mechanism, and as he played back, he stood by the console, slowly removing his clothes, along with memorable gestures, until by the last chord he was wearing just a pair of swimming shorts. While still applauding, the audience followed Tom as he rushed out of the house and leapt into the swimming pool in the back garden. Tom, not the audience, that is. It was quite an occasion, as you can imagine. Well, that's enough nonsense for today, I think. And to set things back on an even keel, I'd like to close the show with something very sensible. Damon reminded us last week what a fine combination was made by Bill Vlasak and the 42-ranked Paramount Music Palace Wurlitzer in Indianapolis. Well, Damon will be back in his two slots next week, but it's goodbye from me, John Leeming, for the moment, with Bill Vlasak in Indianapolis, and let's get away from it all. Yes, let's do that.